Hello, everybody. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I am your host, Captain Marvelous, and welcome to the 50th episode of I'm Batman, the podcast, the show where I chronologically review each and every episode of the 1992 Batman the Animated Series. Let's dance the dance they dance in France. Let's get to it. This week's episode is titled Robin's Reckoning Part 1, original air date February 7th, 1993. The title card is the top of an empty acrobat's platform, highlighted by a spotlight, and it's very sad, very creepy actually. We start off with Robin being a whiny brat as he wants to leave, saying that him and Batman have been scouting the same area for the last 4 hours. So he's all like, "But Batman, we've been here for 4 hours. Batman basically ignores everything Robin says, and he uses binoculars to scout a building that is still under construction. Batman sees three men arrive, and they take an elevator to the top. He tells Robin that these men are contract saboteurs, so they have to take it by the numbers, nice and easy. Robin is a dick, literally, it's his name, and he just dives into the situation, not listening to Batman. The three men are setting up dynamite to destroy the construction site, and Robin, having learned from the best, just kicks one of the men from the scaffold. And just like Batman, he's lucky that the guy didn't fall to his death, because I should probably mention they're fighting on metal beams on an unfinished skyscraper, so they're probably like on the 100th floor or something. Batman then shows up and he says, I can probably murder better than that. And he decides to try and throw two men off the building. The bad guys go at Batman with a huge wrench while Robin fights the other guy. He kicks him to his death below again. Luckily, the guy lands on an elevator. Batman then kicks one of the other men off the building, but luckily, the guy hangs onto a cable. Batman doesn't know how long the guy can hang on, and frankly, I don't think he cares. He chases the other guy, who walks into a loose steel beam, and the guy is left hanging by his fingers as we see the angle of the huge fall he would take. The guy hanging from the wire drops to another beam below, and he grabs a ribbit gun. He starts shooting at Robin. The platform that Robin is on falls, and Robin is left hanging from the beam by his fingers. Batman, he flew in like a wrecking ball. He wrecked him. Oh yeah, wrecked him. Batman just threw a dude off a building with a wrecking ball. The guy somehow lands on a platform below, and he runs away to the elevator, escaping along with one of the other criminals. Okay, dude, I don't think Batman knew that this dude would survive a wrecking ball to the stomach. Those things are used to knock down walls on buildings, yet he just swung it at this dude, and the guy just happened to survive. I mean, I know, and I mention it every week, and I know you guys are probably so sick of it, but seriously, his one rule is just a joke at this point. The guy, the guy's hanging from his fingers from that beam, and Batman wants information on who's behind the plan to blow up the building, but the guy won't talk. Batman and Robin leave, and the guy panics because he starts to slip, and he starts yelling. He's saying that he works for Billy Marin, and Batman is shocked at this revelation, but it seems to mean nothing to Robin. The guy does fall off the beam, but Robin saves him. Robin is trying to get more information, but Batman tells Robin to go get the car. Robin doesn't want to, but Batman yells at him, and Robin leaves. Batman is left alone with the criminal, and he is angry. And now he wants some real answers.
Hey!
All right, scumbucket. It's you, me, and 30 stories. You're gonna tell me exactly what I want to know.
Batman and Robin arrive to the Batcave in the Batmobile, but Batman says that he needs to do this mission alone. Robin keeps whining, but Batman just yells at him again and he takes off in the car. Robin is angry and he vents his frustrations on Alfred.
I'll never be like him, Alfred. Never. He's a stone-cold, self-righteous...
Master Dick, try not to be too critical. I'm certain, whatever his reasons, Master Bruce has your best interest in mind.
He shuts me out, man. Treats me like a kid.
Now, I apologize for the quantity and the length of the clips that I will be using throughout this episode, but the acting is great, and I believe it needs to be heard, not just me talking about it. It is amazing. Some of the best voice acting we've had on this series so far. Robin wants to know who this Billy Marin is anyway, and he decides to look it up on the Bat Computer. Robin finds out Billy Marin's real name is Tony Zucco, and Alfred is just shocked. Robin gets angry and he says, "Finally!" And we go into a flashback. We're at the circus with the Flying Graysons, which is Robin's family, as he was a young acrobat in the Gotham Circus along with his mom and dad. And we see a very young Robin, a 10-year-old Robin at that. And a Robin just looks cool. I mean, I've mentioned I'm not a big fan of the Robin character, but I really like him, how they make him as a little kid here. He looks just like the Robin from the old comic books. If you've ever seen the cover when Robin made his debut, where he's jumping out of the page next to Batman, and he has like the hair like parted down the middle with the two little bangs. That's what he looks like, and he looks super cool. Robin is walking outside, and he plays with an elephant. At that moment, we see a man get knocked out of a trailer. The man is being kicked out by the guy who runs the circus, a Mr. Haley. Mr. Haley is angry that this man is threatening him with, quote-unquote, protection. The guy says that Haley is making a big mistake.
Can't run a business without insurance.
Get off my property while you can still walk.
Hey, fine. I've tried to be reasonable. You don't want my services? Okay. But you're gonna wish you listen, old man. Oh, yeah. Keep my number handy. You're gonna be calling Tony Zucco and soon.
Zucco knocks Robin to the floor as he leaves. He looks at him and says, "Get out of my way, punk." So Robin gets a good look at him. It's time for the show that night, and we see the crew setting up the event. And we see a man cutting a rope with a knife, and he sneaks away. Mr. Haley acts as the ringmaster, and he welcomes the benefactor for tonight's show, Mr. Bruce Wayne. We get to see a young Bruce Wayne, which is always a plus in my book. Bruce knocks over his popcorn, and when he tries to pick it up, he spills his soda. Oh, man. No one that clumsy could be Batman. The Flying Graysons are introduced, and the guy who was seen cutting the rope walks past them. Robin recognizes him, and it's Tony Zucco. But before he can tell his parents, they rush him to the stage since it is time to perform. The Graysons climb the huge tower and they start their show. And as they perform, we see the rope start to rip. And now we know that this is the rope that Tony Zucco cut. Robin sees this and we get one of the best scenes in this show's history. This episode has commentary from the show's creators. And the commentary isn't anything special, that's why I'm mentioning it now. They mostly talk about more technical aspects of the show, about how the episode was written, and some of the looks of the characters. They don't really say anything that stands out. But during this scene, they mention that the censors would not allow them to show the death of Robin's parents, so they had to get creative, and oh man, did they ever. Robin's parents swing on the trapeze, and Robin sees the rope about to snap. Robin's mom flips and is grabbed by Robin's dad. They swing out of frame. The music stops for a moment, and then just the torn rope swings back into frame, and we get dramatic trumpets playing now. And then we cut to the dark crowd, where you only see their silhouettes, except for Bruce Wayne, who comes into frame shocked as everyone else, fully visible as everyone in the background is just shadows and silhouettes. It is amazingly framed. I love this scene. I had forgotten how good it was, but it is really good. I mean, there's no sound. There's no screaming of the parents. There's no sound of them falling or dropping. There's no Robin yelling, no, or anything over dramatic like that. We don't ever even see them fall. But just seeing that cut rope swing back and forth as a spotlight shines on it, it's just so great. We feel the tragedy of the moment. We forward to Robin talking to who at this point I'm guessing is still just Detective Gordon, and it's a very younger looking Commissioner Gordon, and I don't know, he looks funny because he looks the same except that he has like brownish reddish hair instead of his usual gray hair, so I don't know, it just looks a little weird. Robin tells him that he saw Tony Zucco, but he wasn't able to warn his parents. And the framing, once again, it is so good. As we see Gordon sitting next to this sad little kid in the background. And in the foreground, we see the torn rope that caused all of this trouble. Bullock, who is just the cop here, he's not yet detective. He's just a regular cop, Harvey Bullock, picks up the rope for evidence. And Bullock looks funny because he's wearing the traditional blue cop uniform instead of his usual trench coat and hat. Bruce Wayne appears. And he asks what will happen to the kid. And Gordon says that Robin is a witness and Zucco might try to harm him. So he's probably going to be put in a safe house. Bruce volunteers to take the child in. And we get a super sad scene as Robin says goodbye to all of his circus friends. He even says bye to the elephant. The elephant waves goodbye with his little trunk and everything. It is so sad. They play his sad music. As Robin gets in the back seat of Jim Gordon's car and he just drives away and everybody's sad to see him go. And then we get like the comparison here of he just left this big family where everybody loves him. Everybody's hugging him, telling him goodbye. And he arrives to this dark, empty house at Wayne Manor. It's just so good. Robin arrives at Wayne Manor, and he just sees this huge, enormous, and dark place. He's taken to his room, which used to be Bruce's room, and Bruce gives Robin some word of encouragement.
Look, Dick, it's not going to be easy. You have to take it a day at a time, but for however long it takes, you have a home with us.
Thanks, Mr. Wayne.
Bruce.
Alfred and Bruce leave Robin in his room, and Robin sits on the bed and he looks at the picture of his parents. We zoom out and we see this sad little boy in the middle of this huge empty room with no one there for him. It's just him with a memory of his parents and no one else. We cut back to reality. Boom, there goes gravity. And Robin is angry, saying Batman has no right to take Zucco away from him. We cut to Batman driving, and Batman goes into a flashback. In the flashback, Robin is wondering if Bruce will join them for dinner. And Bruce says that he has a meeting, so he won't be able to join them. Robin is sad that Bruce never gets to spend any time with him. We cut to an alley, where some bums are playing dice. One of the bums looks an awful lot like Bruce Wayne in disguise. He keeps asking questions about Tony Zucco's whereabouts, and one of the men gets suspicious. Now, before I continue, this scene was actually rather controversial because, as I mentioned earlier, the censors would not allow the death of the parents being shown on screen. And this wasn't censored, but somehow it caused the censors to be angry that there was gambling shown on screen. I guess that's a big no-no to show something like playing dice in an alley. And it caused a huge hiccup with the censors, which the creators are still not aware of exactly why. Because they have shown gambling before. We had a whole episode with Joker's Casino. So I guess since this is illegal gambling instead of like illegal gambling in a casino, it might make a difference, as dumb as it sounds. But the creators are still confused by that. And you can hear them talk about it in the commentary. One of the bums grabs Bruce and he tries to attack him, but Bruce beats him up. Then one of the other bums grabs all the money on the floor and runs away. He drops the cash and he stops to pick it up. And we get another amazing scene. So, as the bum picks up the cash, we see a dark shadow behind him. And as the bum slowly stands up, we see Batman's silhouette. And Batman wants information, but the guy says he won't talk, he's not a rat. Batman, who is still in silhouette and just looks amazing, cracks his knuckles, and the guy, he is just scared to death and begins to talk. The guy says that Zuko is hiding out with his uncle Stromwell, and that name sounds familiar when I hear Stromwell. We fade to the next scene, but I would like to think that Batman proceeded to still beat the crap out of this guy for the next 10 minutes. We cut to the very heavily guarded house of Stromwell. And would you look at that? It's Arnold Stromwell, the old gangster from the episode It's Never Too Late, which is in the top 15 of our Batcave archives. If you remember, it's the episode where Stromwell is a gangster and his brother is a priest, and they reunite and, I guess, work through their differences. It's a really, really great episode. And I think it's done by the same studio that animated this one, and I believe the same writer, so good for them. Batman gets into Stromwell's room, and he threatens him to tell him where his nephew is at. Stromwell's nephew, not Batman's nephew. I love how Stromwell isn't intimidated by Batman. Because, okay, Stromwell is a man of power, so he acts like he's not scared. Maybe he is, and you could tell in some scenes that he is. But I love how he acts that he's not. Because Batman, like, surprises him, and he does gasp. He goes like, oh! But then he just gets angry, and he says to Batman, you're not supposed to be here. You can't just go around my house knocking my guards out. So I love that. I love how he acts like, I'm not scared of you. I'm a mafia boss. Stromwell says that he doesn't know where Zuko is because he stopped taking care of that loser a long time ago. At that moment, Zuko walks into the house and he is outside the door and listens in. Batman gives Stromwell this very weird warning.
If you protect him, Stromwell, I'll be very grumpy. You don't want to see me grumpy.
That's hilarious. I love it. And for those of you who don't know, that's a play on the Hulk's famous catchphrase of, you won't like me when I'm angry. And it might also be a tribute to Grumpy Cat, which I'm not sure. Because, you know, seeing how Grumpy Cat became a thing about 25 years after this episode aired, but it could still be a tribute to that. Batman plants a listening device under Stromwell's armrest on his chair and he leaves. Tony Zuko comes in happy that Stromwell tricked Batman, but then Stromwell beats the crap out of Zuko with a newspaper in another great scene. He grabs a newspaper, he just starts hitting him with it and tells him, get out of my house, I'm disowning you, you're not part of this family. Stromwell says that his nephew's stupid penny schemes have gone too far, and he has brought Batman down on them. So, yeah, Stromwell kicks Zuko out of the family. What happens next is one of the best action scenes in Batman's show history. Batman is listening to the conversation, and one of Stromwell's guards walks up to him. Since it's super dark, the guard can't make out that it's Batman hiding in the shadows. And we cut back to Zuko, and we hear gunfire outside. Zuko runs away scared, and we cut back to Batman being fired at by another guard with a machine gun. Batman dives into more cover, and he uses the Batarang to take out that other machine gunner. A car burns rubber down the driveway and tries to run over Batman. Tony Zuko is driving it, but Batman jumps on the hood. He almost breaks the glass, but Zuko speeds toward the gate, forcing Batman to jump off, and Zuko gets away. Back at the Batcave, and Batman is telling Alfred that he will get Zuko, but Alfred has different ideas.
From now on, Tony Zuko gets my undivided attention.
How fortunate for Zuko, because there's a little boy up there who's just aching for some of that attention.
I'm doing this for him.
I'm sure revenge can be deliciously sweet. However, at the moment, he needs a friend. Isn't that what you needed, sir?
Bruce Wayne goes to talk to Robin. Robin is sitting at the window crying. And, okay, I know I did it last time with the clip of the man who killed Batman, and I'm going to do it again. I'm going to play the entire scene, because this scene is great. The acting is really good. I mean, we all know Kevin Conroy, who plays Batman, can do great scenes. But credit goes to Joey Simran, who plays the 10-year-old Robin, because this scene is just so heart-wrenching and amazing.
Hey, Dick. How you doing?
Fine.
Sorry I haven't been around. I forget how big and lonely this place can be.
That's okay.
As it turns out, I may have some free time starting tomorrow. How'd you like to catch the Gotham Knights season opener? Box seats.
Great.
I know it must be very difficult.
If only I could have stopped him. I saw him coming out of the tent. I knew he didn't belong there.
I know. You keep thinking, if only I'd done something differently. If only I could have warned them. But there isn't anything you could have done. There isn't anything either of us could have done.
Your mom and dad? Does the hurt ever go away?
I wish I could say yes. But it will get better in time. For you. That I promise.
After the talk, Robin breaks down into tears on Bruce's shoulder, and we fade back to the current happenings. Robin is angry and yelling at Batman that he was deceived. But Batman says, in this team, he calls the shots. In this mission, he is doing alone. Batman cuts off Robin. Robin grabs a motorcycle and he says this.
Oh no, he's not gonna ace me out.
Please, Master Dick, you must do as he says.
Not this time, Alfred. Maybe not ever again.
Robin drives away into the night as Alfred looks on. To be continued. Oh man, this episode's great. This episode earned Batman the Animated Series an Emmy Award, which would be one of two for the series as a whole. They won more, but the others were for a sound design, music, writing. But they earned two Emmy Awards for the show as a whole, it being this one and the other one being Heart of Ice, the Mr. Freeze origin. This episode is just really great. The commentary by the series creators mentions that this was their favorite episode of the entire series. Although it also kind of ruins part two, because during the entire closing credits, they talk about how disappointed they were with part two. So I guess we can look forward to that. So in the time of its original airing, we would have to wait 1 week to see part two of this story. And if you remember, the same thing happened with the first episode of the series, The Cat in the Claw, part one, where we had to wait, actually that one, I think we had to wait like 2 weeks. So this one, we had to wait 1 week, but a lot of the older episodes were already running in syndication and reruns. So they would air new episodes, and they would mix it up with reruns. So, as far as our reviews go, we have one episode in between. We have another episode next week, which has nothing to do with this. But in 2 weeks, we get the conclusion of the story, so we don't have to wait like a month or 2 months or whatever we had to wait for The Cat in the Claw Part 2. The animation is just amazing. It is seriously some of the best animation the series has seen since the pilot episode on Leather Wings. And if you've been listening to this podcast, you know how absolutely bananas I am for the flying section of Man-Bat on Leather Wings. It is the same studio, Spectrum Studios. They also did the Heart of Ice episode, POV, Beware the Grey Ghost, and they animated the entire Batman Mask of the Phantasm movie. So, needless to say, this episode just looks great. Sadly, this is the last episode we will see animated by the studio for the rest of the series. I believe I mentioned it in a past episode. It was a great studio. It was actually some of the animators from another studio called TMS, which I believe is another like really, really good studio that's done animated many animes. These were like not a spin-off, but some of the animators from there left to start their own studio, which was Spectrum. The creators, whenever they can compliment them, always do. They always say that Spectrum Studio goes beyond the call. like for episode Heart of Ice, where they added frost to Mr. Freeze's glass dome for like every single frame that he was in when they didn't even ask for that. Sadly, the studio just couldn't keep up that quality of work with the money they were making. So this is the last episode the studio did for this series. The music is great. The use of it is very smart. While I believe the music is not as memorable, I really like the use of it. The entire last action sequence is done without music. And it makes the tension and the drama seem more intense. The music that plays when Robin is saying goodbye to all his circus friends is just really heart-wrenching. So it really, really great use of music here. I've always thought Robin was a stupid character, but he can be used to great effect when used correctly. This episode is the perfect Robin episode. He is, As far as acting goes, though, he's great as an adult, and he is amazing as a little kid. If you've watched the Lego Batman movie, and I recommend that you do, you will see that when Robin is played more to the age of a little kid than a whiny teenager, he can be a great addition. That's always been my problem with Robin, that I guess people find it, or studios find it weird that Batman endangers the life of a 10-year-old kid. So they always try to age him up a bit, make him a teenager or somewhat close to an adult, at least 18 or 19 sometimes. And that, to me, ruins him, because it turns him into an adult, but he's really whiny and annoying, and all you feel is like, God, you're grown up already, man, just deal with it. But he's a little 10-year-old kid, and he acts like a dumby, and he's whiny, and he gets super excited about things. It's like he's a little kid, so it fits, the personality fits the age. That's why I don't like when he gets played up as a teenager, as he does in this series, and we are going to get to see a lot of Robin later on. So when that time comes around, I'll explain why. It's a really great Robin episode. I don't know what else to say. It's just a really great episode. I really recommend it. So why don't we just rank it now and get to the Batcave archives?
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
All right, the Batcave Archives is the part of the show where we rank each and every episode we have reviewed thus far. This is the 50th episode. At number 50, we have Prophecy of Doom, the episode where Batman fights a fake sidekick. And number one, we have Almost Got Him, the episode where the villains play poker and tell their best Batman stories. Where does this rank? I really, really like this episode. It made me like Robin. And that's a hard task, because I've said it in this episode, I think the character of Robin is stupid. But it really, really made it feel like he has a place in Batman's history with this episode. as I said, when used correctly, he could be a great character. The Lego Batman Robin is probably my second favorite. Of course, Burt Ward from the 1966 series being the first. Hey, I got to meet him over the weekend. He was at the cookie convention in Los Angeles. I got to meet him, got to take a picture with him, got to see the Batmobile, so that was cool. Anyways, this episode I think is really, really great. It is definitely in the top 10 for me. So let's see what we have in the top 10. At number 10, we have Two-Face Part 2, the conclusion of the Two-Face story. Number 8, we have Perchance to Dream, the episode where Bruce Wayne has a perfect life, but it's all a dream. Number 6, we have Two-Face Part 1. It's another amazing episode. The origin of Two-Face and Harvey Dent. And I believe, actually, the writer of this episode also wrote that episode and the one above it, which is number 5, Heart of Ice, the Mr. Freeze origin. And at number 4, we have His Silicon Soul. Oh, and I forgot to mention, during the commentary, they talk about the writer. And they mentioned that this guy, he's written some of the most dramatic episodes for Batman, which are like some of the best episodes. But they actually found him because he was a writer for the show Animaniacs. And he was the guy that wrote their music. So all these silly, wacky songs, he was the writer of them. But then they found out he could just write great drama. So they brought him onto the show to do certain episodes. Number four, his Silicon Soul, is the episode with the Batman duplicate who doesn't know whether he's a robot or not. And I love that episode. Personally, I just really, really love it. I think this episode is not better than that one. So this is going to rank somewhere between 4 and 10. Is it better than Heart of Ice, the Mr. Freeze origin? A lot of you are going to hate me, but I say it is. This episode is really, really good. It's touching. The animation's great. The music's great. The story's great. I'm not saying Heart of Ice is not. That's another great episode. But to me, this episode has more of an emotional impact than Heart of Ice does. Maybe because Heart of Ice has just been so overplayed throughout the years. And this episode is kind of underrated. I don't hear many people talk about Robin's Reckoning as one of the best episodes of the series. So, yeah, I am going to put it at our new number 5, Robin's Reckoning Part 1. Alright, everybody, thank you for listening. Some announcements. I am presenting some of my paintings. If you don't know, I like to paint. I like to draw, do painting on the side. And on March 6th, Meltdown Comics in Los Angeles, I will post the address and the information on the Facebook group. Go to Facebook, look for I'm Batman the Podcast, become part of the group. And I'll post the information there. If you're in Los Angeles on March 6th, there will be a WWE Loot Crate sponsored art show where I will be presenting some of my artwork. I have been working on an enormous Royal Rumble painting. This is probably the biggest painting, the hardest I've ever worked on a painting ever. I'm really, really proud of this one, and I'm going to have it finished by the time the show starts. So I will be making its debut at the Meltdown Comics WWE Loot Crate show on March 6th. As I said, go to Facebook. I'll put up all the information there. So if you're in the Los Angeles area, I hope you get to pay a visit. I will try to make it down there myself for the show on March 6th. You get to hang your paintings, and they will be for sale. Sadly, this one does not qualify to be for sale because I have had it signed by some of the wrestlers, so the store does not allow me to sell artwork that has been signed by somebody else. I will be selling some of my other artwork. I am working on other paintings as well so that I can have stuff to sell there. But if you just want to come down and take a look, say hi to me. I'll be there. And I hope to see some of you down there. And I think that's going to be it for this week's show. Remember, if you have any questions, suggestions, or thoughts on the reviewed episodes, or the show in general, send them to captain_marvelous1@yahoo.com. I have been your host, Captain Marvelous, and remember, no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, we are Robin.
The shame. I'm Dick Grayson and you're Bruce Wayne. Though we both have different names, we're born to save the day. We were meant to be together. We've both been through some heavy weather. It's all I wanted for so long. It's a brand new day. Let the sun shine in and light up your head cage. There's no reason to be scared of change. We're born to save the day.
you.